We've been looking at inheritance, and over the last 9 sessions, seeing that Jesus has died so that we could inherit. And it all comes through relationship with him, which is eternal. And his purposes are eternal, and he's called us into sonship to fulfill those eternal purposes on earth. It was agreed in heaven. We've been looking at the fact that the children of Israel are examples for us. 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happened to them as an example. They were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And we saw that the children of Israel had a journey from slavery to sonship. There was a restoration on that journey of their inheritance. And that when Joshua and his generation took the next generation in, they inherited the promised land and then looked to occupy that land, dealing with everything that was there in opposition. It wasn't a no fight. They had to go in and take possession of their inheritance. And God calls us to also possess our inheritance. And last week we looked at Joshua generation will encourage people to hear the word of God directly. Joshua 3:9. Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come here, hear the words of God, of the Lord your God. And that means the Joshua generation are able to speak prophetically of God's heart, but more importantly, to teach and model a relationship with God of intimacy where we can hear God. No mediators, no need for someone else to tell us what God is actually saying. Not saying about teaching that, but generally our own lives, we need to be able to hear God relationally every day. And therefore, our inheritance is to walk with God experientially and encounter him in an intimate relationship, to live a daily intimate relationship with God. It's a daily thing. Every day is a new day, an expectation, an excitement of what is God going to do today and what are we going to do together. See, I don't work for God. I work with him. It's relationship. He wants us to have a relationship where we cooperate and work with him. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. We become one heart, one mind, one will, one purpose, just like it was in the early church. They came together in unity and God blessed that unity. Now, relationships develop out of regular communication. So we do need to see and hear and feel and smell and taste and sense God, his presence. So we hear what he says, see what he's doing. All those words, unfortunately, in English, tend to have a very limited perspective. To see means that your eyes see. To hear means your ears hear. But in a Hebrew sense, they involve all the senses. So it means perceiving and having intimate understanding of what God's saying. So last week we looked at the relational side, and today I want to look at the practical side. How actually do we communicate with God? God is a spirit. God is light. God is love. Three things that God says he is. The word of God says that. So how do we interact with that? How do we engage with him? How do we see? How do we hear? How do we know about God? How do we know him, and how do we know what he's saying to us? John 5:19, this was talking about Jesus. Jesus said, I say to you, the Son can do nothing himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Now that does not necessarily mean that he sees it with his open natural eyes, because the word see there means, as well as actually seeing, it also means perception and understanding. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So that was hearing the voice. So how do we hear the voice of God? John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. So how do we know God? Well, our natural eyes, when we see, it's like light is reflected off everything, because everything else is absorbed. So what we see, when I'm looking out right now and seeing the different colors and different things you're wearing and all the pretty bunting and stuff that's floating from the ceiling today, what am I seeing? Well, actually, those things and your clothes and everything else are absorbing most of the light and only reflecting a little bit. That's what I see. And that light that's coming from those and reflected goes into my eye and goes through the lens and is then put onto the retina. And there's a little picture of what it does. It's like the light goes in through the lens, it forms an upside down image on the retina, and that sends an electrical signal to the brain. And in the brain, it interprets that electrical signal of light. And so my brain tells me what I see. Now, we are so wonderfully made, we don't have to even think about that. It just happens. God made it like that. He made it so that we could actually see and have a perception of the life that's around us, naturally. Our ears. How do we hear? Well, what is sound? There are pressure waves that come in the air that vibrate our eardrum, and that's passed along little bones in our ear in fluid, and then that is then turned into electrical signals which the brain interprets. And so we hear. Absolutely amazing little picture there of it. The auditory nerve takes that message, and actually in the brain we understand what sound. So if someone's speaking, my brain interprets what they're saying. Amazing that we're made that way. Now, God didn't just make us physically like that. He made us in every way to be able to perceive and understand. How do we know? Well, we know things by electrical impulses in the synapses of the brain. They pass along neural pathways and the brain interprets things as thoughts. Absolutely amazing. Take the top of our head and there's all sorts of electrical things buzzing around. For most of us, those of you asleep right now, you would probably have a lot less activity, but still some. So there's a whole lot of neural things. It's like, there's a little picture that says, these wonderful electrical cells process and bring to our attention everything we do, think, feel, and experience. And there's a scripture in Psalm 139. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. God has made us to be able to communicate, to see, to hear, to feel, to think, to know. And I think we just sometimes just take it for granted. But we're fearfully and wonderfully made to be able to communicate with him, as well as communicate with each other and live in a world and understand it and connect with it. But also he's made a spiritual world that we need to be able to connect and understand with. So we have the eyes of our heart, our imagination. Therefore, things form directly in our mind on a screen. Doesn't come through light waves going in through, but the same process takes place. We see something in our brain. So God has given a different way for us to be able to see. And of course, our imagination is a creative ability, because God is a creative God and we're made in his image. Then there's the eyes of our spirit. Does our spirit enable us to see things? So it passes information to our brain in some way that we understand what our spirit is trying to say to us, what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. You know, God doesn't create something and then use something else. He creates something physically and spiritually, and it all connects up and it works together, because God created the universe and he created us to be able to engage together. Hebrews 5:14 says we need to train our senses to discern, and we do that with practice. See, we've learned to see so that our brain engaged. We learn to hear and to smell and to taste and all those things. We also need to train our spiritual senses to learn to see and to engage with God, to hear his voice, to be able to see in that realm of the spirit, to see what he's doing. But we have to train it, because we are born separated from God and our spirit isn't functioning and active. But when we become born again, the Holy Spirit comes and life comes into our spirit. And now our spirit, as a spiritual baby, needs to grow and learn to hear God and to see him and feel him and taste and all the other things we've been talking about. That's why we do certain exercises, to encourage the spirit to learn how to see, how to hear, how to feel, and all those things. God said, and God saw. Genesis 1. There's a connection between seeing and hearing. between sound and light. They're not completely different things. It might look like they are, but actually they're both wavelengths of frequency. The key in understanding how to hear God's voice and how to see what he's doing is sound and light. That's what we need to actually learn. How do our natural and spiritual senses work together so that we can hear, see, and know God? And you might think, well, I don't really need to know that. Well, the problem is we mostly are passive. In other words, we're dependent on just God doing something so that we can see or hear or feel. God wants us to be active receivers so that we actually are able to receive because God created us to receive. But we have to learn how to actually do it, how to be an active receiver of the voice of God, of the things God wants us to see, of the things that are operating in the spiritual realm as well as in the natural realm. Now, different created things hear at different frequencies. You know, we have a dog whistle that when you blow it, you can't hear anything. But hopefully a dog comes running when you blow it because they hear at a different frequency. Lots of different beings hear at different frequencies. Cats hear at a higher frequency as well. Bats hear at almost the highest frequency. The highest frequency is the beluga whale, believe it or not, because they can hear a frequency of sound that travels through water over a long, long distance, because they were created by God that way. We have been created by God to hear. What do you see? In our natural frequency, we see between 700 nanometers and 400 nanometers. It's just a small portion of the overall. And when you look at the overall from the scale of radio waves, which are huge things at one side, right down to cosmic rays, which are 10 to the minus 14 on the other side, is a huge scale. And that scale is like the bit that we see in the middle and the bit that we hear in the middle. It's like 7 keys on a keyboard, but the whole scale is like the distance between here to the moon, 250,000 miles. Now that is a huge scale up. So there's a whole lot of sound, a whole lot of light, a whole lot of electromagnetic wavelengths that we can't naturally see and we can't naturally hear. But it doesn't mean that they're not understandable, perceivable, or receivable in a different way. See, the ears and the eyes have abilities to see in a range of wavelengths, from hertz in the sound to nanometers in light. Is the spirit capable of discerning wavelengths that are not detectable by our natural eyes and ears? I believe so. I think the spirit is able to interpret and describe what is actually it is seeing or hearing or perceiving in a different realm. And it does that sometimes through our natural eyes, often through the eyes of our heart, but often through the eyes of our spirit. Now, the eyes of our spirit is not something that most people talk about, because most people have not encountered to see with the eyes of their spirit. But I believe that when we are in tune with God as a receiver, then those signals are passed to the brain so that we can understand and distinguish between the spirits and the different realms of things that are going on. That's what seems to take place. And I've been asking God to show me what takes place so I can explain it. But our whole body vibrates at a frequency. Our whole body is made up of 68% water and our brain are at 80-odd% water. So there's something that we are made to be able to be receivers. Water has the capacity to transmit vibrations or sound frequencies or other frequencies 4 times faster than air. So when something hits us, our body has the ability, it's almost like a receiver, to take in that stuff and transmit it to our brain really quickly so we can receive it. The ear is continually vibrating and it's sensitive to changes in frequency. It's connected to all the organs in our body. Basically, I think the spleen is the only one it isn't. And therefore, our whole body is designed to communicate signals to the brain. It's like our body is a detector and an amplifier of frequency. Our spirit is sensitive to what God is saying and seeing what God and the enemy is doing in the dimensions around us. Problem is, we've never learned to interpret the signals so that we can see them, because no one's ever told us how to do it. God is revealing these things so that we can do it. See, tongues is an example of spirit-to-brain communication. Tongues is praying in the spirit or singing in the spirit. And yet, it comes to the right side of our brain, which is not the normal speech center, and we then speak directly what the spirit says. How does that happen? Because the spirit communicates with the right side of the brain and tells our mouth what to say, or our thoughts, because sometimes you can think in tongues. So you can think in tongues on the inside. So that is being received from the spirit by our brain, and therefore we understand. That when we receive a vision or a picture from God, in our imagination, the spirit has communicated in some way to our brain, so the picture forms in our imagination. There is communication taking place. You see, the still small voice of God. There's a still small voice. We just hear something. It isn't a actual voice, but it's an example of some frequency that is from God being heard as thoughts in our mind. There's a flow of communication that takes place between God and us, and between the spirit realm and us, that we need to engage with. Intuition. How do you just know things in your intuition? How does your brain get hold of something which moves your emotions? There is a pathway of connection, and we need to tune into those frequencies so that we can communicate. Now, the reason I'm explaining this is because you need to be able to choose to do it. Not just be passively hoping it might happen, because God wants us to choose to do this. That's why we need to practice and train our senses. See, this room is filled with signals. It's filled with sound and light frequencies that cannot be heard or seen by our natural eyes or ears. And yet, if we turned on a particular receiver, we could receive that picture in a TV, or in a radio, or in a digital radio. Those things can be received as signals. Perhaps our spirit can tune in and see and hear and feel what our natural body just can't, but communicate to us so that we can also see, so our brain interprets the signals and decodes them, so we experience God's voice. We experience seeing what God wants us to see. Sound and color have an effect on the natural and spiritual dimensions. There's something about sound and frequencies of color that actually do something in the spiritual realm. Hence, when Joe and others do their banners and flags and movement with the sound, often in worship, something changes and opens in the spiritual atmosphere. Portals open. Angels suddenly start getting active, because something about that communication in color and sound draws the presence of God and the angelic. And so we need to be aware of those things. You know, there are healing frequencies. A lot of Christian people involved in healing ministries are realizing there are certain frequencies of sound and vibration which seem to bring healing. There are fragrant oils which have healing properties. You find them, a lot of them, in the Bible. Our bodies have a frequency. Planets, stars, have the whole of creation has a frequency. When I've been in heaven, I've at times experienced something which I can just call like the sound of harmony in heaven. And it's calling us to join it and join in to produce the frequency of the sound of harmony and unity in heaven. That's just an awesome experience. But we have to join in and be part of it, so that our spirits, other spirits have frequencies. Perhaps they are all connected and therefore they are discernible. You see, often we feel and sense an atmosphere in the room. You know, if people say, ooh, there's an atmosphere here. Now, sometimes that can be body language and people can perceive something because, yeah, people might, you know something's up. But actually, sometimes it just isn't. Sometimes it's just something that you can actually just feel. You perceive something completely differently in the realm of the spirit. And it's like, how does that happen? You know, people say things like, ooh, you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. Now, we say things like that because something about us detects something that's going on in a different way than our just our natural ears or eyes. So we're able to do this. Sometimes you go to a certain place and you get that cold, chill, shiver. And it's, ooh, this feels a bit of a dark place. Sometimes you go to a place and it just feels peaceful. There's an atmosphere that you can just feel and pick up. Now, when I asked God to show me this, he just gave me a parable to explain it. And the parable he uses are all scientific for me, generally. Because I started to be able to do this. I suddenly was training my senses to see, and I was trained my imagination, I've trained different areas. Suddenly, I started to be able to see, and I have to use it in the word see, but I'm not physically seeing it. I could perceive something that was going on in different spiritual atmospheres because I turned it on. God showed me how to do it, and I was able to do it. Now, I can turn it on and off now because I've learned. So if I turn it on now, not with my natural eyes, but with my spiritual eyes, I can see the different things that are going on in this room. Now, how does it appear? Not as a vision, although I can describe it to you. It isn't a picture in my brain, but it's a description, an impression of the things that are going on here. So right now, I can actually see the angels that are here. So there are angels in that back corner and that corner on the right and over there, and there's a whole row of them at the back. Now I can describe to you what they look like, what they've got in their hands, the colors that they have, and the things that they're giving off. I can describe to you that with that bunting in the ceiling, there is a flow, a ribbon of the angelic here in the room. Now, how can I do that? I couldn't do it before until I started to ask God to open up the eyes of my spirit. Now, I can describe to you actually the atmospheres that are coming from you as individuals around you. Now, that'll freak some of you right out because I can see the different colors. Well, I can't see them. This is the thing. I cannot physically see them with my natural eyes and not with the eyes of my imagination because I've not closed my eyes and I'm imagining it. My spirit is communicating to me what is here in the room. Now, that is not something that I alone can do. I know other Christian ministers can actually do it, and I know that God wants all of us to be able to do it. But we have to learn how to train our senses. Now, what I asked God, show me how this works. And it's like sonar. You know what sonar is? Sonar is when you're in a submarine and you send out a ping of sound into the water. When it hits something, the echo or the thing comes back and it's shown up on a little screen. And that's how God described how my spirit can discern what's going on. It's like my spirit is sending out a radar frequency or a sonar frequency into the room, and coming back, there is a picture. The same thing works with something like ultrasound. It's like you put an ultrasonic frequency into someone's body, and what comes back is a picture. They do it when they look at pregnancies. So is my spirit able to discern frequencies? Yeah. Can my spirit see what my natural eyes can? Yes. William Branham, who some people have a problem with, and at the end of his life, he did have a little few problems, but actually in most of his life, he was an awesome minister of healing and power. He could touch somebody, and he had an angel ministering with him, and he was able to discern people's disease by touching their hand. Now, all sounds pretty weird, but actually God fearfully and wonderfully made us to be able to connect with things in that realm. How does that small, still voice get transmitted? Well, it comes from our spirit to our brain some way. Now, I believe it's something to do with the frequencies that take place within our body that can discern. So we can perceive what's going on around us that we're connected to. Radar and sonar. That's how we discern the signals. Now, it is like that. I've gone through this. Sound waves travel a million times slower than light waves. But they both travel and they're both received, but they're received in slightly different way. Sound is measured in octaves. The light is associated with the sound is 40 octaves higher. And even with our brain waves, it's 46 octaves higher. So there's a connection between how we think and how we feel and how we see and how we hear. That we were made to be connected. It's just no one has taught us how to do it. People have done it passively sometimes, but not actively often. Seeing and hearing in the Hebrew sense means experience. Connected to all our senses so that we can perceive and receive and understand. See, when I close my eyes, my brain actually starts to function in a different way than my eyes open. My eyes are open now and I'm looking, and everything is functioning in what's called beta waves. They're the fastest waves that our brain functions at. If I close my eyes, my brain starts to operate with alpha waves. And there's a strong connection between the alpha waves and my spirit. And I've got time to go into it today, but there's a whole different teaching on that. So how do we hear the voice of God? How do we recognize God's voice? God is a spirit. He transcends time and space, but he has created a place for us to engage with him. Ephesians 4:6 says there's one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. We can connect up with God in everything. But God is not everything, and everything is not God. God is a individual, personal God. But everything can be connected through it. So we need to develop a lifestyle of the supernatural. 1 Kings 19:12 talks about a small, still voice. Elijah heard the voice inside him. In Numbers 12:6 it says, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision, and I shall speak with him in a dream." So our visions and dreams also have the sense of sound attached to them, that we can hear what's being said in a vision or a dream. Now, we know that's not natural ears, but we are made in the image of God with the creative abilities. We are made to receive this information from God. Acts 2:7. "It will be in the last days," God says, "that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." We are supposed to be able to connect and feel and see and touch what God is actually doing. We can hear and see spiritually, but we need to train our senses to tune into it. Now, I've got a few scriptures here to finish up with, just examples. Acts 9:3. Paul, traveling, happened as he was approaching Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The men who traveled with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. So here's an encounter that the Bible describes with God. Paul saw the light and heard the voice of Jesus. The others only heard the voice and did not see the light. They're in the same place. The light caused blindness to Paul, but the others were completely unaffected. So what light was it? What sort of wavelength of light was Paul seeing? Was it a actual physical light? Well, he saw something that the others didn't see. So maybe it wasn't. Was it Jesus himself as the light? Was it the veil of heaven being opened around Paul that he could see into something that the others couldn't? I don't know. I might go and ask him one day. But actually, what I want to open your sort of minds to is the fact this all happened in the same place with different people, and they saw and heard different things. They all heard the voice of Paul, but only Paul saw Jesus. Was it an actual voice that their ears heard, or was it in their heads? It's like, we need to sort of think, I don't know, but they heard the voice. So I assume it was an actual voice because they all heard it. Did he see an actual light or a spiritual light? Is it easier to hear than to see? These are all things that I ask myself when I read scriptures like this, because they should encourage us to expand our thinking and to open our hearts to the things that God is wanting to say to us. Why is it easier to see and hear? Maybe because our bodies are designed to receive sound frequencies rather than light frequencies. Because the auditory nerve is connected to the body rather than the optic nerve is only connected from the eye to the brain. Don't know, a lot of things. How do we pick up the signals and tune in? How does our spirit hear and see? How does our spirit communicate to our mind? What frequency of sound or spectrum of wavelength of light does our spirit detect? I can't tell you, other than tell you, mine receives something and detects something. And I believe a lot of you have the same abilities, and all of us can if we're willing to pursue that relationship with God that receives his communication and receives revelation from his heart and mind and purposes. Is the body able to receive sound waves through, like a receiver? I believe it is. Acts 9:10. There was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision. He has a vision. I don't know whether his eyes were open or he was asleep or his eyes were closed, but he had a vision. And in verse 12, he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Now, he was now describing that someone else, Paul, had seen Ananias in a vision. So this gets really interesting and complicated. God, in a vision, tells him that someone else has received a vision of him. It's really interesting, isn't it? I prayed for someone once that they would see an angel. And when they saw the angel, it was my angel, which was a winged white horse, they saw. This stuff actually happens. Acts 9:10. The Lord said to him in a vision. Did he actually hear sound waves? No, because it was a vision. But he still received revelation of what was being said in the vision. He saw on the eyes of his heart, his imagination. He may have had his eyes open and just saw a vision. He may have had his eyes closed and he saw a picture in his head. I don't know, but he saw and he heard, and he was obedient to what he saw and he heard. So can you hear without actually hearing? Yes. Can you see without actually seeing? Yes. Acts 10:3. The ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel. This is Cornelius, who wasn't a believer, and yet God was speaking to him in a vision in the form of an angel, when the angel who was speaking to him had left. So this was a real vision that the angel was speaking to him and the angel left. So everything seemed to be pretty real. Then Paul fell into a trance. He saw the sky opened up and a voice came to him. So all this stuff is really in the Bible. And again, a voice came to him a second time. Was it a real physical voice? He was in a trance. It may have been. I suspect it was actually not. But he still heard and saw and was able to understand, and it transformed the whole of the New Age church. This church age was completely transformed because the Gentiles were actually received into the church. Whereas before, they didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. So that vision changed everything. That enabled us to receive. So actually, visions are really important. The vision came to an angel. So angels bringing messages are really important. Angels speak to us. Where was all this happening? In his head, I guess. Was it any less real because it was in his head? No, it transformed us. The whole church age was transformed as a result of this. That's how important it is to hear and to feel and to taste and see what God is saying and doing. It can totally transform and change our lives and our situations. I don't know, was he in another dimension at the time? He was in a trance. When I went into a trance, I went into another dimension into heaven. I don't know. But God got his point over. And it changed his life and the lives of many, many other people. How do we know what we're receiving from God? And this is a good question. Well, knowing the word of God is a good place to know whether God is speaking to us or not. But actually knowing the God of the word is actually more important. Knowing his character, his ways, his heart, and his mind is the place where we know that when he speaks to us, it's God speaking. Knowing the purposes of God will help us discern what God is actually saying. James 3:15, the wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy, selfish ambition exists, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. That is how we tell, by the fruit. How do we recognize it's God speaking as opposed to our other sources or ourself? Well, the voice of reason, based on our past experience, or the lies of the devil we've believed, or the familiar spirits, and their little minions who speak and whisper in our ear, or our culture that we're living in, can influence how we think. But the clue here is in the results. Jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, and evil will come from those sources, but actually pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, all those things, good fruit, will come from God and from that heavenly source. The important thing is we come from a place of rest in relationship. Matthew 11:27, practice being at rest and peace. No matter what the situations are around us, whatever the circumstances are going on, we need to come from a place of rest and peace. Matthew 6 says, don't worry, don't be anxious, or by implication, don't be fearful, because that will stop us receiving, and it will enable us to receive and have atmospheres of things around us which are not coming from God. Practice the conscious presence of God, who promises never to leave us or forsake us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all our burdens on him, because he cares for us. He cares for us. That means he's intimately involved in our lives and cares. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to your own understanding, and he, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. For surrendering to him, he promises to actually make our path straight. John 1:14, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 27, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. If we're connected to the presence of God within us, who live within us, as we're a habitation of God, if things are flowing from the inside out rather than the outside in, then we're going to be able to come from a place of rest and communication from the heart of God. If we let everything that comes from the outside in affect how we act and feel and think, then we will be fearful, anxious, or in trouble. But if we're flowing from the life of God in us, then we can come from that place of rest, that place of peace. Therefore, we don't have to carry our own things, our own responsibilities, do things by our own natural resources. We do things because God is flowing through us. See, worry and anxiety equals an overactive mind, actual beta waves going really fast, trying to solve our own problems. Rest and peace with a relaxed mind, actually alpha waves. Scientifically, when you're relaxed, more blood goes to the right side of your brain, because that's the part that needs to be active to receive the things that God wants it to see. Everything needs to flow from the rest and peace of our relationship with God. We don't do things for a relationship with God, but from our relationship with God. Religion and legalism traps us into dead works, doing things to earn a relationship. We can't ever do it. Even the best things we do are filthy rags to God. But on the basis of the righteousness which is given us in Christ, we have relationship and access to the presence of God. We are human beings, not human doings. But so often we strive to do because we need something from it. God wants us to come from rest. Therefore, what do? Cast all our anxiety on the Lord. Actively, cast it all. Don't worry, be happy, the song says. It's a really nice little ditty that goes with it, which I'm not going to sing. But it's a great little thing, because it's like, be happy. Communication is best received from God from a place of rest and peace. As I said, blood flows to that right side. We learn to live in that state of intimacy. Now, I want to just finish with this scripture, and then one more. Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for the mature. Actually, what I'm talking about is somewhat solid food. It is for the mature. How do we become mature? To receive the revelation that God wants us to have. Because of practice, we've trained our senses to discern good and evil. We can see and discern because of practice what I've been sharing today. Training our senses into it. Now, I want to read this scripture, and I want to finish, and I want to pray that God does in this scripture what he will do here today. 2 Kings 6:16. Here's the picture. Elisha, a prophet of God, is with his servant, and the enemy, an army, is surrounded him to come and kill him. Okay? That's the picture. So, in all intents and purposes, his circumstances are dire from a natural perspective. So he had the right to feel fearful. He had the right to feel, ooh, what is going on here? But this is what happens. So he answered and said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And there was thousands of soldiers around. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And what happened? The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There were angels and angelic creatures in a spiritual realm all around Elisha, actually, who were going to stop that physical army being able to kill him, because the spiritual has authority over the natural. So I'm going to pray. And while we worship today, I want you to be encouraged to just open the eyes of your spirit to see. Whichever way it comes to you, be aware of the things that are here, what God is doing in the realm of the spirit, the angelic realm. Be aware. Now, I'm not saying you're all instantly going to get this, but I'm going to pray, just like it happened in this scripture, that God opens the eyes of your spirit to see. Okay? So let's just pray. Father, as you opened Elisha's servant's eyes to see in the spiritual realm your angelic beings and the activity that was going on in that spiritual realm to bring peace and rest to his life, in spite of the circumstances, I pray that you would open the eyes of each person here, the eyes of their spirit, to see, to perceive, to receive, to be a receiver of the frequency. It comes from that realm, and that their brains will be able to interpret that and show them what you're doing here this morning. And not just for today, as they practice, as they're willing to train their senses, that you will bring them into maturity to be able to see, to hear, to feel, to taste, to touch the things of God, to know God by personal encounter day by day, that we would be able to fulfill what Jesus did, doing your works, because he saw what you were doing. Just pray, open their eyes to see. In Jesus' name. Amen.